I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show.
Increase blood pressure, increase body temperature, increase muscular power, muscular flexibility, all these things upregulate so we can perform really well. Getting rid of all the little lights and the LED flashing things that are on electronic devices. We're trying to keep our head as far away as possible from anything that you have to plug in. So you have a cool mattress, a cool room, and then warm skin thanks to pajamas or sufficient covers. Okay, that's the key to sleep.
Hey man, how's your sexual function? Oh, uncomfortable talking about it? Look, we talk about our injured knees, our belly fat, so it's time to get focused on function. I want to tell you about GainsWave. This is a cutting-edge protocol where a handheld device sends low-intensity shock waves into your penile blood vessels to stimulate a healing response and promote increased blood circulation and the growth of new blood vessels. A skilled practitioner puts the GainsWave magic wand onto your magic wand, and after a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results. GainsWave reports an 80% success rate. Now, we know that popping pills is a popular penile protocol, but when you're working with clogged pipes, you just get a temporary band-aid effect when you take prescription drugs. GainsWave addresses the cause of age-related decline by stimulating growth factors and activating dormant stem cells. Translation, stronger, harder, more sustainable erections. I learned about GainsWave from my podcast guest, Dr. Judson Brandeis at the Brandeis MD Clinic in Northern California, and there's a robust network of GainsWave providers that you can find on their website near you. Complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, and while it's great for ED, GainsWave is for any man that wants to combat the effects of aging and get a little boost for your A-game. So please visit GainsWave.com/Brad. That's GainsWave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area, and you can take advantage of my special promotion. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. You have nothing to lose and lots to gain from GainsWave.com/Brad. Welcome to part 4 of the Primal Fitness Coach Expert Certification Program Comprehensive Overview. In the first 3 episodes, we covered the first 10 chapters of the course. That leads us to chapter 11 about sprinting and jumping. Hopefully you will go back and listen to the shows in order, but I'm going to read the chapters really quickly and get us right here to the wonderfully exciting chapter about sprinting and jumping. So chapter 1 was the concept of pursuing fitness for health and the difference between fitness and health, making sure that you don't overstress yourself and have your fitness goals compromise your health. Chapter 2, we talked the importance of general everyday movement. Chapter 3 was about human posture and movement fundamentals. Chapter 4 was a chapter dedicated to breathing and the wonderful advanced breathing techniques, getting your efficiency down and breathing minimally through your nose only at all times, whenever possible, for the rest of your life. We had a chapter on stretching, chapter 5. Chapter 6 was on mobility, flexibility, balance, and injury prevention, and all the things you can do to take care of your body so that you can perform as desired when you're pursuing those peak performance goals. Chapter 7 was about cardiovascular fitness and endurance training. Chapter 8 was the benefits, principles, and strategies for high-intensity exercise. So you learned a little bit of the science, the rationale, how to do it right, adopting the correct philosophy,
and making sure that you get the benefit rather than risk the breakdown. Topics, concepts like delivering a consistent quality of explosive effort when you're performing a brief explosive high-intensity workout with numerous repetitions. Then we had a whole chapter dedicated to the deadlift and the squat, two of the quintessential human functional fitness movements, and highly recommended to be a centerpiece of one's fitness experience, especially because they deliver those comprehensive anti-aging benefits. Then chapter 10 was about resistance exercise and all the other forms, such as free weights, body weights, machines, and kettlebell exercises, and the primal essential movements. And now, sprinting and jumping, a whole chapter dedicated to the benefits and how to do it right. Sprinting is the ultimate primal workout and the quintessential expression of the Homo sapiens genetically hardwired fight or flight response. So when you perform these brief explosive acts, you are getting what's considered to be a desirable fight or flight stimulation. We want those hormones spiking in the bloodstream and the blood pumping and being able to deliver a peak effort. And then, because the workout doesn't last too long, we recalibrate back to homeostasis and we come back stronger, quicker, faster, more explosive, and more resilient. And not only for the next sprint workout or jumping session, but for all other forms of stress in general everyday life. And that's kind of a forgotten benefit of being a fitness enthusiast, that when you can persevere through these difficult fitness challenges, they have a strong likelihood of carrying over into the difficulties you face looking at a screen or dealing with people or navigating the busy traffic highways, right? So you kind of get this rebound response of being a more calm, balanced person when you are able to hone your fight or flight mechanisms, your stress mechanisms, but then get good at toning them down and kicking into nice sympathetic parasympathetic balance in real life. So we'll just go over some bullet points talking about the benefits and the strategy. So the main one is to understand that this brief natural fight or flight stimulation delivers these comprehensive rebound benefits. And when we talk about sprinting, the ideal form is running fast on flat ground and absorbing that impact and building greater bone density and having the maximum signaling for fat reduction and development and maintenance of lean muscle mass. Because the penalties for carrying excess body fat when you're trying to run fast in a high impact activity like running sprints on flat ground is so severe that you'll get the most profound genetic signaling of any type of workout to drop excess body fat and improve your physique. Same with jumping, right? I mean, you can't get any more explosive than jumping up into the air and landing back on the ground. Now, if that's difficult to immediately adopt due to one's current state of fitness, or injury concerns or what have you, you can work up to eventual goal of sprinting on flat ground by doing low or no impact sprints. So you still get profound genetic signaling benefits and hormonal and muscular skeletal benefits when you're sprinting on a bicycle or on a rowing machine or on other cardiovascular equipment. One better than that, in our argument's sake, would be to sprint up the hill or upstairs where you're getting a little bit of impact, but it's probably within reach of a lot of people who might have hesitancy to start sprinting on flat ground. And the way to gradually progress toward becoming an actual sprinter on flat ground is to get good at sprinting in low or no impact activities. Work your way up to running up the hills or running up the stairs, and then you can start to integrate very brief wind sprints, they're known as, where you accelerate up to a high speed and then immediately decelerate. So it's kind of like revving the engine. And so if you're out on the running track or the grass field, you would, you know, warm up extensively, perform all the technique drills, all the dynamic stretching that we present in the video accompaniment and also talk about in the chapter. And then once you're warm and loose and energized, you can test out the body and tried to accelerate for a number of strides or a number of seconds. So nothing that's too physically strenuous that doesn't it doesn't require, you know, high fitness to be able to sustain a high speed for 80 meters or 200 meters. You're just testing out the engine and building your coordination and your capabilities such that one day the wind sprints can be the precursor to doing a proper set of brief, explosive, high intensity sprints. And pretty simple, the awesome general tip to keep in mind is that you want to sprint for a duration between 10 and 20 seconds. That's the sweet spot where you get those wonderful hormonal and fitness benefits without extending yourself too far and potentially creating a workout that's exhausting and depleting. And technically speaking, we're not capable of sprinting with a great power output for longer than 20 seconds anyway. And so it's not really a sprint if you go to your indoor bicycling class and the instructor says, okay, we're going to sprint for 30 seconds and then we're going to do it 10 times. It's not really a sprint. And when you get into that high intensity interval training pattern where you're performing work intervals that last for significantly longer than 20 seconds, it's sort of a different deal than doing a true sprint. So that sweet spot of 10 to 20 seconds. And then the other important aspect, which I talked about when covering the previous chapter, is that delivering a consistent quality of effort entails that you take prolonged rest periods. Dr. Craig Marker calls them luxurious rest intervals, where you're resting for a 6-to-1 ratio from how long you worked. So if you do a 10-second sprint, you're going to rest for a minute. Do a 20-second sprint, you're going to rest for 2 minutes in between efforts. And for many people, that seems like a ridiculously long time. You're ready to go after 30 seconds, but you're directed to rest for 2 minutes. But the importance cannot be understated. The importance of taking those longer rest intervals is that you come back to the starting line with refreshed cellular energy, not entirely refreshed, but you're allowing ATP to regenerate during that rest interval such that you can deliver another explosive effort rather than dwindle along through a set where the 7th, 8th, and 9th intervals are significantly inferior to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That is not a characteristic of an appropriate workout. So you want to have your first sprint out of the gate just as impressive as your 6th, as your 7th. And at some point, you might notice a decline in technique or power output or measured performance. And that's when you curtail the workout. Sound good? Okay. Another key attribute of a proper protocol of sprinting is that you want to be 100% rested and energized and motivated to conduct the sprint workout when that day comes around. So if you're experiencing, for example, lingering muscle soreness or lingering fatigue from whatever busy life or previous workouts, you want to just wait patiently until you feel great to choose to go through with the entire sprint workout. And then you have to honor a very careful and methodical protocol to build into the eventual explosive effort that characterizes the main set. And I'm talking a lot about running here, but I might be talking about kettlebell swings as your quote-unquote sprint workout, or a jumping session where you're doing some of the things I show on YouTube. Jumping drills can be a wonderful workout if you like that. So the protocol is basically a disciplined warm-up where you get the body temperature up, the breathing rate up, your heart rate up. You're feeling like you're turning into a person who's ready to move and perform. Then you do a sequence of dynamic stretches. Then you can do some preparatory technique drills. Then you do the wind sprints. Then you do the main set. And then afterward, you do a nice gentle cool down to try and gracefully bring your body back to a somewhat rested state. You're not going to be completely cooled down after a 5 or 10 minute slow jog or a brisk walk or whatever you want to do for your cool down. There might be some static stretching there at the end if you're targeting particular concerns like a potential injured area. So the static stretching comes after the high intensity effort, not before. And then the positional parasympathetic breathing that Dr. Jeanine Krause talked about on her interview is a wonderful idea to finish off the formal aspects of the workout. And that's where you lay down on the ground, elevate your feet onto a chair, a bench, whatever, put them above your heart, and then engage in 5 to 10 minutes of nice, deliberate nasal diaphragmatic breathing, nice, gentle breathing. And that is to train your body to return to a relaxed state after the strong fight or flight stimulation of the sprint workout. We also talk about the aspects of correct sprinting technique, such as maintaining a straight and elongated spine, landing every stride under a balanced center of gravity, and using the foot appropriately with the dorsiflexed foot position to generate maximum force on each stride. And you're trying to generate force vertically into the ground. It's called vertical force production. And that's how you run fast. Contrary to the layperson notion that you're trying to run forward, you're actually trying to generate energy directly into the ground. And that will allow you to execute the most efficient sprinting stride and go as fast as possible. You can watch my YouTube video, Brad Kern's Running Technique Instruction, and try to get it up and over 2 million views. It's gone viral. And that's great because it is a lot of helpful advice and it's presented in a way that you can remember and then take into your ensuing workouts. So these keys that I present, like strong foot, is characterizing how you dorsiflex the foot as soon as it leaves the ground. And that would be like raising the toe up toward the shin. That's the dorsiflex position, as opposed to plantar flex position is like pointing your toe like a ballerina. And so we want to do that throughout the running stride pattern. And that allows us to harness the tremendous energy potential of the Achilles tendon. There's other technique attributes, like you want to be forward facing rather than wasting energy moving the body from side to side. So you want your hips and torso and shoulders generally facing forward. And then you're allowed to pump then and engage in a little bit of spinal rotation where you can see somebody like Usain Bolt executes this beautifully, where he's pumping his shoulders on each stride and the shoulders are moving a little bit off of this safe and retracted position aligned with the spine, in order to generate maximum power and balance out the body when the legs are generating a lot of force production into the ground. And then, of course, we talk a lot about jumping workouts and how they deliver similar benefits. And it's a great chapter. And it brings us to chapter 12, where we have a whole section on mindset and peak performance. So we talk about some fun concepts like Dr. Timothy Noakes' central governor theory, which posits that the brain is the ultimate arbiter of fatigue in the body, not the peripheral muscle groups. So when you say, I was running that marathon and at mile 20, my legs got really heavy and I slowed down because the muscles got tired and they ran out of glycogen, it's actually the brain deciding to fire the muscles in a less efficient, less explosive manner because the brain is getting tired. It's a wild concept that's strongly respected in exercise science and kind of puts a different spin on whether or not you're in control of your effort. And so I think the quick takeaway is like mind over body. You know, if you really dig deep, you can get to the finish line even though you think you're exhausted. But of course, the central governor theory is not something that we want to tap into every single day. We got to take good care of the body. We got to notice fatigue signals and adjust our training accordingly. But it's nice to know that we're capable of superhuman feats at times. We also talk about the reward chemicals that are produced in response to especially a vigorous workout. And so when you get this endorphin rush that everyone celebrates as one of the most wonderful aspects of being in a fitness lifestyle, and that euphoria that you get in the hours after you performed a good workout. These are literally endocannabinoids, internally manufactured cannabinoid type substances that cross the blood-brain barrier and give you that that sense of well-being. That's why exercise is considered literally a positive addiction, right? It's better than being addicted to substances and so forth. But a lot of times we have to respect the addictive aspects of exercise and manage our pursuit of these reward chemicals in order not to plunge into chronic exercise patterns. Yeah, there's some commentary about how core body temperature is one of the main governors of your performance. So as soon as your body gets overheated, it goes into all kinds of mechanisms to slow down to protect yourself from the extreme health risks of getting overheated, which is visible when someone collapses and passes out from getting overheated. So if you can manage core body temperature, there's some cool commentary in there about the Stanford RTX cooling glove study, which is a device that was invented that can quickly cool body temperature that's getting overheated, and you can perform much more physical work. So that brings us to the fantastic presentation in chapter 13 of overreaching, overtraining, and burnout. And I contend that this is the single greatest resource ever developed for a comprehensive look at the many symptoms of overreaching and overtraining. Those are now viewed to be two different things, where overreaching is the preliminary stages before you get into full-blown overtraining slash exhaustion slash burnout. And so this overreaching state is characterized by chronic overproduction of the fight or flight hormones driven by an overly stressful lifestyle. In this example, it's someone who's training really, really hard and going to the gym more and more and feeling better and better, or increasing their running mileage and doing a lot of races and getting better and better and building upon all this previous success and thinking that their fitness is just skyrocketing, which in many ways it is. However, there is some artificial elevation of fitness and of reduced degree of perceived exertion because these chemicals are floating around the bloodstream to an excess.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Paluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Paluvas give you the most authentic barefoot-style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Paluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Paluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Paluvas, living in your Paluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Paluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Paluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Paluvas, let your feet be feet.
And so when you are bathed in fight or flight hormones, basically around the clock, if you piggyback your ambitious workout regimen with all the other stress factors in modern life, you get into this artificial high where you actually do feel great. You wake up and your muscles aren't sore because you're engaging the patterns of chronic inflammation in the bloodstream. So your muscles feel loose and warm and supple as soon as you wake up and you head out and do another great workout. And yes, indeed, the next day you feel like you're fully recovered and you can go again. And so this is when we get a little bit out of balance and get into the state of overreaching. And of course, this is running on fumes or borrowed time, and we are destined for a crash if protective measures aren't taken, such as, for example, a reduction week of training or a reduction month on the heels of a week or a month or 2 months of extreme peak performance. And that's where the intuitive approach comes in, where you have to reason with, let's say, your past history and realize that you've trained harder than you ever have before in this previous month of August. And now, sensibly speaking, it might be a good time to back off a little bit and make sure that your body absorbs and benefits from all the training stimulus rather than forge ahead bravely, feeling like a badass, possibly or very likely influenced by excessive reward chemicals, fight or flight chemicals running through the bloodstream and making you feel good. Because in the short term, remember, the fight or flight response is to help us sprint away from the saber-toothed tiger. So we get flooded with adaptive hormones, increased blood pressure, increased body temperature, increased muscular power, muscular flexibility, all these things upregulate so we can perform really well. But then we're supposed to stop, turn it down, and rest. And so if that's not happening on a day-to-day basis, that's where you run into trouble. And then your next step is full-blown overtraining. Overtraining symptoms result when the stress response becomes exhausted and the athlete starts producing less than normal baseline amounts of key stress hormones. You can read a lot about cortisol and aldosterone. Those are the two key hormones produced by the released by the adrenal glands. And when you become exhausted from chronic overproduction of cortisol and aldosterone, you experience things like lingering muscle and joint discomfort, because aldosterone is responsible for joint lubrication, especially in the knee and the lower back. Cortisol, we know, is the currency that helps us to maintain energy, alertness, and those types of things all day long for any manner of stress or stimulation. And so when you get this low cortisol state, that's when you have brain fog, mood swings, difficulty regulating blood glucose, because the adrenal hormones are strongly involved in that. And you just generally feel like crap. You have no motivation. You have negative energy, depression, all these kind of things can be consequences of chronic overproduction of stress hormones. So the symptoms are super important to understand. And this is where this chapter is just magic, because it goes into extreme detail, talking in all these different categories of psychological symptoms, physical symptoms, metabolic symptoms. And you can learn and watch out for these signs, especially if you're in a coaching role where someone's coming back and saying, yeah, I feel great, I feel fine. I didn't sleep well last night, but that's okay because I'm really alert and energized and ready to hit it hard. And you can go ding, 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 red flag, right? So a lot of this chronic overproduction of the fight or flight hormones and the stress response, sympathetic dominance, they might call it, is where you are, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, craving sugar, eating the sugar, waking up super early in the morning. And I think a lot of people can relate, not just in the training sense, but let's for example, you're on a vigil at the hospital due to a struggling family member. And so you're showing up there every morning. You didn't sleep that much. You're nervous, you're jittery, but you're alert, you're energized, and you can, you know, go in a prolonged manner on these fumes that are caused by the, in my example here, the traumatic nature of this prolonged stressor. And the same thing happens with training, even though you might enjoy training more so than a hospital vigil, the metabolic consequences and the hormonal consequences are the same. And then, of course, we need to have a chapter on rest, recovery, downtime, and sleep. Optimizing sleep habits, arguably, we could have put that in chapter module number one, because everything flows downstream from paying attention to your sleep needs and nailing those at all times. This is the foremost objective for your fitness progress and preservation of health. And this is obvious. We pay so much lip service to it, but a lot of times we still screw it up. Because the Netflix queue was there tempting us to watch another episode in 7 seconds, 6, 5, 4, 3, and oh, no, it's too late. This looks interesting. Let's work through this. And then your sleep, your chunk of nice evening sleep gets compromised. We also engage routinely in an excess of artificial light and digital stimulation after dark that compromises our sleep performance and our sleep cycling through all the phases of sleep in a graceful manner. And then the environment is another big one. And so we talk a bit about that, where you want to have a nice, mellow, austere bedroom where there's not a lot of stimulation. There's not piles of magazines in the corner or an unfinished home improvement project in the other corner. There's absolutely no screens or things of that nature. You have the ability to make it completely dark or as dark as possible. We're getting rid of all the little lights and the LED flashing things that are on electronic devices. We're trying to keep our head as far away as possible from anything that you have to plug in. Now you know about the temperature controlled mattresses, which are all the rage. And boy, some of them are expensive. I hear people talking about, yeah, well, I don't know. But when you think about sleep and how important it is and how you spend a third of your life there, it warrants the discretionary budget to go for the very best circumstances you can create. And I feel like the stabilizing body temperature is so high up there on the list. We actually require a 2-degree drop in temperature in order to fall asleep. And then in order to stay asleep, we want to preserve that lower temperature until we gradually rise in the morning, and the increase in body temperature corresponding with sunrise and with finally awakening is one of the ways that helps us awaken gracefully in the morning. And so if you have any sort of reporting of waking up feeling too hot and throwing the covers off or sleep disturbances of that nature, it really warrants looking into a way to keep the mattress cool. So what you want actually is a cool body temperature, but sufficiently warm skin so that you're not too cold when you're trying to fall asleep. And that's why we wear pajamas and have a nice comforter, is to keep the skin warm. But if it's too warm underneath the comforter and underneath the pajamas, and you experience an elevated body temperature accordingly, that's when you screw up your sleep. So how do you keep a stable core body temperature and keep your skin warm enough? Well, it entails keeping the room cool. And so the recommended range is 60 to 68 Fahrenheit. And boy, that's pretty cool compared to a lot of what's going on, especially if you live in a warm climate in the summer. People are lowering their thermostat down to 76 or 74 or 71. But amazing that the recommended range is that cold. So you're doing that in the room temperature. You want to keep that mattress temperature cool, and that's where you can have the settings on the sleep system to fool around and test. Some of them go as low as 55 Fahrenheit, and you can find that sweet spot that you like. So you have a cool mattress, a cool room, and then warm skin thanks to pajamas or sufficient covers. Okay, that's the key to sleep. But when we have a chapter titled Rest, Recovery, Downtime, and Sleep on purpose, we also have this critical obligation these days to focus on unplugging and getting some downtime from our constant potential for distraction, hyperconnectivity, overstimulation. And this is a new thing that's occurred in the halfway point of my lifetime, essentially. So I can reference times where I did not have a mobile device, and those decades of my life had much more built-in downtime for daydreaming, engaging in mellow conversation with other humans, things that are less stimulatory than using your thumb and scrolling through your social media or your dating potentials or your text messages. And so it's a big, big concern for all of us existing today in the digital age, where we have to use extreme discipline to get away from those devices and engage in good old downtime for the brain. And that can entail napping, taking breaks away from the screen to do things like walk outdoors and have a lower stimulatory experience where you're looking at the birds, again, perhaps talking, but not engaging with this high stimulation that we can find on the screens. So the chapter has all kinds of commentary about the wonderful benefits of optimizing the sleep, rest, recovery, downtime, and sleep. The benefits of napping to get a quick refreshment in the chemical balance in the brain neurons. That's the sodium potassium pumps that fire the brain neurons. And when you lay down and rest for as little as 20 minutes, you wake up. And if you were feeling fried before your nap, That is a literal truth because the electrical circuitry was thrown off balance by the depletion of the sodium potassium pumps. And you lay down, allow the brain's repair processes to go to work, and you wake up, and that's why you feel so refreshed. And of course, the overnight sleep, the science is still emerging about why humans and other creatures need to sleep for so long. But the miracle of restoration occurs during the overnight sleeping period. So you simply can't compromise it, and you got to have that environment dialed in. On the same subject, in this chapter goes the essential need to emphasize recovery in your training pattern. We talk about Mark Sisson's longtime recommendation dating back to the 80s in one of his first books called Training for Duathlons, where he characterizes workouts as either recovery workout, a break-even workout, which is something that maintains your fitness, or a breakthrough workout, which is challenging enough to stimulate a fitness improvement. It's nice to look at your training patterns from that perspective, where if you have a designated recovery day, you can now design a workout that will actually speed recovery in comparison to total rest. And this is an amazing revelation, especially for me, reflecting on my past as a triathlete, where we thought the essence, the ultimate form of recovery, was to sit on the couch, rent a bunch of movies. That's dating me now because I was going to the video store to rent the VHS tapes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, congratulations, because you don't need to go back there. We can now stream everything. Isn't that awesome? But in the old days, I'd go to the video store, rent a few movies, put my feet up, and eat a bunch of food, and that was a recovery day. But now, if you do a specially designed workout, you can stimulate parasympathetic activity in a manner that will speed recovery. And this is doing things like getting the blood flowing, doing foam rolling, doing dynamic stretches, doing mobility exercises that are not strenuous, but getting that body moving, getting the blood flowing. It will boost the function of the lymphatic and the circulatory systems to help remove waste products and heal muscles faster than just sitting around. Another great recovery activity is walking. Walking improves oxygen delivery, blood circulation, joint lubrication, lymphatic function, and fat metabolism. So all this commentary in this chapter is a nice balance to all the ways that we discussed to kick butt on your workouts and achieve all these wonderful fitness objectives, mobility, flexibility, balance, injury prevention, all that sprinting, jumping, strength training, and then a nice wind up with the recovery emphasized. And there you go, people. We made it through 14 modules of intense educational experience. And so when you register for the course, you invest in yourself, you're making a vote for your own fitness prioritizing. And if you are in that great fortune to help guide others to a nice fitness experience, this is a wonderful way to elevate your knowledge, elevate your offering to help other people. And you enroll in the course, all the material is online in a nice organized manner where you proceed through the modules one by one. And then there's an exam at the end of each one to test your competency. And it really helps keep you on your toes. It's kind of like traffic school where, yeah, you can breeze through the information and say you read it, but to truly learn it and then to represent your knowledge with a passing score on the test, that's how you unlock the next module, the next, and the next. There's over 100 videos embedded in this course to help you engage with the material in a multimedia manner and really learn it and understand it and visualize it. And so you're going through this great experience where it's chopped up into the 14 different modules so you can proceed at whatever comfortable pace you like. The modules are released at a minimum of once a week rate. So you can't go faster than that. I don't think anybody would be interested in that, but by the time you pass the test, a week is up and you jump into the other module. So that'll keep you focused on this experience going over the long term. You can visit primalhealthcoach.com and learn more about the program. And you can even download a 25-page PDF that gives you more extensive details about what's in the course. And I even have a link on my website. So if you just have to remember, go to bradkearns.com. You can see the new section of the homepage talking about the release of the Primal Fitness Coach certification. Download the PDF, scroll through that, And I think you'll be really interested in participating in this educational experience. And what's also cool about the Primal Health Coach organization, they have an assortment of other educational offerings, including the flagship course, which is to become a Primal Health Coach. So not only do you learn, there's fitness, of course, encompassing that educational track, but it's about all aspects of primal living with ancestral health, diet, everything. And also the coaching curriculum is really intensive. And so you learn in a different educational track, a different group of videos and written content about how to be an effective coach. And they also have a business building track where you can learn all these tools to actually help sustain a career in health, in fitness coaching. And so everything's there for you. It's really robust. And another great thing about the organization is they have full-time, very high-level experts to help you one-on-one whenever you need it. So as an active student, as you're proceeding through the modules of the Primal Fitness Certification course or any other course, you can reach out and say, hey, I'm struggling on this particular module. The exam was too difficult, and or I hereby challenge some of my wrong answers because I think I have a different perspective. And we've actually been compelled to reword or change or throw out some of the questions by great back and forth commentary with the students. So it's a team effort. You have experts holding your hand every step of the way. And so you're really getting the ultimate in online education. It's kind of like flying to Chicago for the weekend and going to an intensive seminar to learn all these fitness principles, but it's easier to do in a home study basis and convenient fit into your lifestyle. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening to these shows. And again, I hope they provide tremendous standalone value just to get some good exposure to a variety of principles. I know it did for me because it was really nice to go back and review all the things that I worked on in the written course, kind of get a little refresher of what it's all about. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, ladies. You may have heard me talk about Gainswave treatment for improving male penile vascular health and sexual function, and maybe you thought, hey, what about my needs? Well, Gainswave has got you covered with a revolutionary new treatment protocol called Gainswave for Her. As with the male Gainswave treatment, a skilled practitioner uses a handheld device to send low-intensity shock waves into your vaginal area to stimulate a healing response, promote increased blood circulation, and the growth of new blood vessels. After a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results with Gainswave reporting an 80% success rate. Some benefits. You will revitalize your intimate relationships with heightened sensation and arousal and enhanced pleasure and satisfaction. Don't contemplate invasive procedures or uncomfortable medical treatments. Regain confidence and reclaim your sexuality with Gainswave for Her. You visit the website gainswave.com, GAINSWAVE.com/Brad, to find a practitioner in your area. You complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, so please visit gainswave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area and take advantage of my special promo that you'll mention when you find your local practitioner. Buy 6 treatments and get one free.
Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list.
And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.